Okay.
We are Ayin Testament Beis all the way at the bottom of the page. Two lines in the bottom of the Gemara. So we learned in the Mishnah this idea that someone who is Motzi Hotzos, husband has, you know, spent money on Nechsa Ishto, right? And he has used a lot of his own money. Hotzi Harbe Ve'achal Kimam, he's used up some of the payros from her Nechsa Miluk. So then, Kima v'acha harbe masha hotzi hotzi masha acha acha. So we say, so whatever, you took some from her, you spent some of your own money, fine. So we don't like measure up exactly the difference. It is what it is. You spent some, you got some, fine, right? V'hotzi v'lo acha. But if he spent money, his own money, right? But he didn't in any way use the payros in the mechzi nisimilog at all. So then we say yishba kama hotzi v'itos, and he takes a shvua how much he spent, and we give it back to him. Right, so the difference is going to be we're going to find all these cases like how much does he have to spend to now be considered that he spent? Obviously, it's a big nafkamina. If he spent just a small amount of money, but it's enough that he spent, so we say, oh, fine, so we forget about it. We don't care at all. But how much he spent? But if he spent nothing, but if he used up none of the next thing we look, obviously he gets all his money back. So it's going to make a big difference to know how much how much does he have to spend? So says the Gemara, v'kama kima. So what's a small amount? What does that mean? So I'm Rabbi Asi. I feel a gross. Grogeris achas, v'hu sha'achal derech kavod. So even one dry fig of hers of her peros, would be enough, as long as he ate it like a mensch, right? Derech kavod, meaning like he was sitting and he was eating like a mensch. Not he was like running around, etc. He's eating like sat nicely and ate a dried fig from her nechse milug. That's enough to be considered that he ate some of the nechse milug, and he wouldn't get any of his hotzos back. Amar Rebbe Abba Amre Bey Rav Afilu Shigra de Tamare. No, not a fig, dried fig, but a Rashi says Tamarim Niduchin Yachad Kederach Shedorsin Teinim Yachad. So they would take dates and they would like smush them together into like these little cakes. It's probably the type of thing you get in Shalach Manos probably at some point, but you're right. It's these little date cakes. They put them together. Litras, af elu v'chenu mikre shigra. Fine. So it's the same thing, and it's called a shigra. So Rashi says, "Vane shemati shigra trios or charios kemin eshkol tamarim." It's more like the same way that grapes come like on a vine, like that, like in a bunch. So it means like a bunch of dates. And so that'd be a larger, a little bit of a larger thing. So v'kashli says, "V'maya filu to Rabbi Yava ha grugros." Korea mean tomorrow, so he's a little bothered. Why is it called a filo? Right? That even if you had a sugar tomorrow seems to be more. So whatever. So he manages that question. But the bottom line is it's another like relatively small amount of food. Okay. So Bayer Bibi Chufza to Tamare Mai. So Bibi asked the question, what if you have a chufza of tamare? Rashi says, La Akasha Asubahen Sheikhar, right? If you would take dates to make date beer, right? So what they do, so you have to like crush them, right, to get out the juice or whatever. So v'nishar hapsolas, and there's like this whatever man that's left is left. So what if you have the chumtzah tomorrow? I mean this very leftoverness, this leftover stuff, the leftovers from the dates. Would that count? Rashi says inami niduchin harbiyah. They're crushed a lot. They lost those manchin. Whatever it is. The bottom line is it's like these got leftover amounts of dates. So with that, is that enough? If he ate that, is that considered that he ate from her stuff? Or no, that's so gross. It's not considered like eating anything of her items. So he might have to take it. I'm not sure. So Eliyahu Navi will deal with this shayla also when he comes back. We'll be answered this shayla. Fine. So fine. Now the Gemara goes on. Lo achla derech kavod mai. What if though he didn't need a derech kavod? Right? What if he ate it? On the run. He was in the car. He didn't need the derech kavod. So is that going to make a difference? So Rashi says, lo achla derech kavod mai. I mean, the question is kind of a funny question. The Mishnah said, it's only if he ate derech kavod. Implication being, if he didn't eat derech kavod, that doesn't count. So the question is there a certain amount eaten shelo derech kavod that still counts as eating? Right? Rashi says, lo achla derech kavod mai bekama hav yachila. Meaning, okay, I get it. You have to eat a derech kavod to be considered. But if I ate, pounds and pounds and pounds of her peros, not derech kavod, look, that's going to count. So how much do you have to eat if it's not derech kavod? Maybe a higher level higher amount. What would that be? So Amar Ula, Pligi Ba Tre Amarabi Marava. Two Israeli Amaraim had a machlokas about this. Chad Amar Biki Isar, Vachad Amar Biki Dinar. And so it depends how much, you know, the machlokas, how much the person has to eat. So one that said it has to be the amount that's equivalent to an Isar, and one said the amount that's equivalent to a Dinar. So in case you're wondering, one Dinar is 24 Isar. So it's a big machlokas because if it has to be an Isar, if it has to be a Dinar, that's a lot more than an Isar. Okay, fine. But the bottom line is, it has to be some amount that's more significant if it's going to be eaten Shalom B'derech Kavod, whether that's an Isra, whether that's a Dinar. Fine. So Amr Dani de Pumbadisa, so the Dayanim, the judges who lived in Pumbadisa, Avad Rav Yehuda, so they said the following, that Avad Rav Yehuda Uvda Bechavile Zemuros, that Rav Yehuda had a Maisa, and he paskin that someone who used up Chavile Zemuros, it was considered as if that they ate from their wife's nichsin milug and then didn't get any of their money back once they ended up getting divorced. So Rashi says, Avad Rav Yehuda Uvda. You see Rashi there on the right side? Like, I don't know, like 10 lines down on the skinny lines. The Chashva Achila, that was considered that eating, but Chavile Zemuros, Shehen Ma'achal Lepilin, which is a food that's given to, I don't know if in Hebrew, in Rashi's Hebrew, Pilin means elephants. Right, but peel means elephants. I mean elephants, but it's given to an animal, right? And he gave it over to his animal to eat. And then he divorced his wife. So again, he didn't actually eat the food at all, right? But he fed it to his animal. It was like animal feed, right? And then they got divorced. And Yehuda said, okay, doesn't matter, you yourself didn't eat the food, the fact that it was eaten by your animal, so that means you got benefit from it, and therefore it was, Masha Acha Acha, sorry, you're not going to get back any of the money that you spent. So Rav Yehuda, and continues the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Tameh, this is Rav Yehuda, like Lashita, so Rav Yehuda according to his usual approach, which is what? Dam Rav Yehuda Achla Orla Shavias Vikilayim Hareze Chazaka. Because he paskins in Bava Basra the following. In Bava Basra, the Gemara in Bava Basra, the beginning of the Masechta, is all about the question of making a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Right? Cheskas Gimel Shanim means when a person buys property, so if they have the shtar that says property was bought by them, then great, that's the best thing. But let's say they don't have a shtar. They don't have a shtar that belongs to them. So how am I? Then someone says, you're on my property. He says, what do you mean? I've lived here. The guy says, well, prove it. How do you know it's yours? So the way a person can prove it is if they have a chazaka, they've been living there for 3 years on the property, using the property, working the property, etc. So they have a cheskas gimel shanim. So then they're able to that's considered their proof that it belongs to them. So the question is, how do you create that chazaka? So one of the ways is that you've been eating the produce of the field for all these years, right? So what if the things that the person's been eating are things that people don't really eat so much, right? So look at Rashi. Or maybe the owner doesn't necessarily eat. So Rashi says, Achla lokeach shnei orla, right? So let's say the person ate one of the years that he was of his 3 years. He was eating the orla, right? It's the third year of the produce, right? Which you don't have to eat the orla, right? She'ein hana asan ela bizmuros, right? Because all you can eat is like the vines. Why? She'apri aser b'hana. You can't eat the fruits of orla. Oh, shvius. Shu hefker, right? Or I ate the shemitah produce. Shemitah produce doesn't really belong to the owner of the field. It's hefker, right? O shezara kilayim vezmuros lanesru. The person planted the kilayim, where you can't eat the produce, but again, only the vines, were left not aser. So in all those cases, harezu chazaka. All no leminin shalosh. They all count as part of the 3 years. I achas me'ashalosh shanim achas me'elu. If one of the 3 years is this. Is one of these years, it still counts as Cheskas Gimel Shanim. So the point being that Rav Yehuda, who said that if the guy fed some of the Chavile Zemuros to his animal, right, that counts as if he ate something and now he can't get his money back from his wife. So that's Rav Yehuda Shitasa, that he holds that any type of use, right, is considered usage. Even if it's not the typical, owner usage, it doesn't matter. That's still enough. Fine. Okay. So Amrav Yaakov, Amrav Chista, Hamotzi Hotzos Anichse Ishto Kitana, Kamotzi Anichse Acher Dami. Okay, so now it's a different law. So And Rabbi Yaakov is telling us a new halacha named Rav Chisda. And that is the following. What if a person was married to a katana, right? So you've had these cases many times, right? He's married to Isha Katana, Rashi says, Yisoba, she has no father, she's an orphan. She siyasa ima v'achia yechol l'mayin. Right, so what's the halacha? When a girl's less than 12 years old, and her father passed away, so her father can't marry her off, but her brother and her sister can, her brother and mother can, but when she does, when they do, what happens? Until she becomes a gedola, she can do miyun, right? She doesn't even have to get a get. She can just walk away. She feels like, I'm not interested, she can walk away. So what if a man's married to a katana in that way, and she brings into the marriage nichse milug, right? And at the same time, he spends his own money, right? He spends his own money on her during that time. So how do we? And the money he spent, let's say, is like improving her property that she brought into the land, into the marriage. So what happens? What's his status? So halacha is, we don't make him like a husband. We make him like a motzi a nichse acher. What does that mean? Like what's called an aris, a person who's a sharecropper. So look at Rashi. She motzi a nichse acher v'miyana bo shamin lo shvach shishbiach v'notal kemishpat arisei hamedina. The halacha is a sharecropper. So a person's works in the field, and he's given sort of like permission to use the field, and he gets the benefit, whatever he adds to the field, so he gets that back, right? Whatever he, improvements and whatever payros come from that field, so he gets the payros and he gets the value of the improvements that he makes to it. So that's more than just getting the payros. That's the bottom line. So the halacha is that we make this husband, who is the husband to a katana, he's not like a husband who just gets to use the payros, and then if he spends money, he loses everything, right? But but we said that he's like a sharecropper. And therefore, whatever improvements he makes to the field, even if they get divorced or she walks away, he actually gets the money. Why? So what's the reason they did that? So Rashi said, as the Gemara says, my time, avdu barabana takanta, keich the delol nifsedinu. Why do we do that? Because we knew that if the Chazal knew that if they didn't make this takana, like a Rashi, avdu le rabana hach takanta, de shamilo ke aris, continue like an aris, meaning he really gets more back. And maybe he will use up the field in sort of an irresponsible way, right? And he's not going to work on it, because he's nervous all the time she's going to walk away. So now they made him like an aris. What's happening? He's never going to lose money at all, even if she walks away. He's always going to get whatever he invested in that field. And so what's he going to do? He's going to make good investments in the field. And he won't worry that maybe she's going to leave him. So whatever I leave, if she does me, I'll keep whatever I invested. So he's never not worried that he's going to just use it up and not use it well. Because I guess the concern is, if he's in any other case, he knows, but by divorcing her, he's going to lose the field. But that's much more in his control. Right, if it's Mion, that she could walk away at any moment, and that's much more scary for him. So therefore, to avoid him just using up the field out of this fear that she's going to do Mion, they said make him like an aris, and therefore he'll take better care of the field during that time. Even though, yeah, in the end, he'll collect more than he would have, but at least this way he won't use it up. Fine. So I guess we should probably stop here, and we'll pick up.